You can be seated. It's really good to see you today. Happy Mother's Day, moms. Thank you. God bless you. My father-in-law just passed away, and we had his funeral Friday. And Papaw had a clothing store, a pretty upscale clothing store. But Mother's Day was the biggest day in business. He was never open on Sunday, ever. Papaw never opened on Sunday. But on that weekend was one of the busiest days of the year because everybody did things for the moms, right? And they wanted their husbands to go to church, so they got shirts and ties and sport coats for the men. So you wouldn't think that Mother's Day would be the busiest day in a men's store. But moms want us looking good. Amen, don't they? They want us looking good. And the kids, did you all hear that? Amen. That had a little extra in there for you guys. So. But God bless moms. Thank you so much for all that you do. And may God bless generations through you, your love and your care. I am going to, over the next few Sundays, remind you of the invitations that we have at our church and we have in our ministry. And if I don't remind you, you're going to forget them because we so easily forget. And it's up to me to make you remember these. The four invitations that we have are come to me, which is the one we're going to handle today. Call to me is what we're going to handle in the future, along with this other one, cast to me and confess to me. So if you're discipling other people, you need to jot these down and teach them. You need to learn them yourself, that when you're dealing with people, even our ministries, all of our ministries, we want to offer these invitations of come to me, call to me, cast to me, and confess to me. So today we're going to handle his invitation of all of us to come to him. I picked this verse, and I'm going to be using this verse at the beginning of all these four different invitations. And I'm doing this because he said if to his disciples, if anyone wants to come with me, then you've got to do some things. That's right. Now, you can come to him just like you are, but you can't follow him that way. Right. All right? There's got to be some things happen. There's got to be some transformation that happens in your life. One of the steps is you got to deny yourself. I know the scripture says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, but some of us love ourselves a little too much, right? You love your neighbor like you like yourself, but we got to deny ourselves. There comes a time we've got to tone it down with us. We'll talk about that in a minute. The second thing is you got to take up your cross. And what does that mean? Well, I don't know about you, but it's got to be a daily sacrifice. That's really what taking up a cross means. We've got to deny and sacrifice ourselves daily. We're living sacrifices. Romans tells us that. But we have to take up our own sacrifice because that selfish me in there is always wanting to take over. Am I the only one in the house? Okay, you see what I'm saying? So there's got to be a constant sacrifice and a denial because old Jethro will want to take over, you know? And I will want to direct my life instead of him directing my life. And isn't that the battle, really, though? That it's a battle over my directed life compared to his directed life. And then the last one, it says, follow me. We follow. We are to follow him. And we'll get a clear picture of that in just a moment. So today, as we handle come to me, here's the passage that I'd love for you to use with this if you ever reuse it, and that is Matthew 11, 28 and 30. The Lord says this invitation, come to me, all of you who are weary, burdened, I learned it as heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Even a picture of yourselves being your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden, it is light. If you read the passages above verse 28, you're going to see that Jesus is in a conversation about the Father. And a lot of things that the Father does, if you read the above scriptures of what I've just given to you, you must understand and remember our way to the Father is through Jesus. There is no other way to the Father. You're going, well, what's the big deal with the Father? Well, the big deal of the Father is everything that you get from the Father is going to come from Jesus. It's going to come through him. I want you to look at John 14:6. You all know this verse. I just want to prove the text. You know, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, do you hear me? No one comes to the Father except through Christ. You're going, why do we make Christ a big deal? Because you have no access to the Father unless you come through Christ. It's not good works. It's not a denomination that you're a part of. It's not a doctrine that you will die on the hill for. It's not any of that. The only way you go to the Father, and you do want to go to the Father. You're going to see this in a minute. You do want to go to the Father. He's a good Father. I know it's Mother's Day, but he's a good Father. He's a good Father. And we want to go there. And the only way we can go there is through Christ himself. So the Father wants to give his children lots of things. He wants to. I want to show you another side. I don't want you to see a father that wants to withhold from you or to limit you. That's what Satan tried to show Adam and Eve in the garden. You've got a God who will hold out on you. I want you to see a heavenly Father that doesn't want to hold out on you. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity gospel here, but I am preaching abundant life here. Okay? Gosh, y'all going to preach me to death. Y'all ain't. Good Lord. I'm usually tired by the second service, not after the first one. So if we're going to go to the Father, it's got to come through Christ himself. Look at Colossians 1:19-20. And again, Colossians 1 is one of my favorite chapters. It says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, meaning Jesus. Do you see that? The Father is pleased with the Son. And through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, meaning Jesus' cross. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, he's putting all that together. Everything that we get from the Father comes through Christ. And he is a good giving Father. Look at James 1:17 for just a moment. Every generous act and every complete gift or perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights or the Father of the heavens. With him there is no variation, there's no changing, and there's no shadow cast by turning. It means there's no changing in him. He's the same God that led the people of the Old Testament. He's the same God who led the people of the New Testament. There's no turning in him. A lot of people are going to get you to think it's 2024 and God's changing his mind. I just want you to know that he isn't. Okay? He's not changing his mind. I want you to say, you'll think, well, he's going to change the way that he judges. He won't. He's going to judge us exactly like he did the folks in the Old and the New Testament. So we see a picture that everything he gives us, every generous act, every kind thing, every act of mercy. When I preach a funeral, I tell people the scripture that Paul uses, every good and perfect gift, not gift, but every bit of comfort comes from the God of all comfort. Yeah. When we just went through Papaw's celebration of life, and it really was a worship time together, but everything that happened, every kind word was a gift from the Father. Do you understand that? All the good things that have happened to you have come from the Father, and there's no changing in him. So I want you to see a Father who is about blessing. Listen, I don't believe in luck, okay? I believe in the blessings of God. I believe in hard work. I don't mean be lazy and let it all fall in your lap. That's not the way the scripture teaches, and that's not the way we live. Christians ought to be the hardest working people on the face of the earth. But in that, I don't believe in luck. I believe in the blessings of God. So as we're dealing with coming to the Father, because this passage, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, this passage is a passage where he's talking about the Father. And as he's talking about the Father, I want you to know the tradition when you and I pray. We're taught to pray, and you may wonder, why in the world do we pray that way? When we pray, we address the Father. And Jesus taught the model prayer. Cry out, Abba, Father. So we address the Father. When we close the prayer, it's our tradition to do it in the name of Jesus. And you may not even know. You're just taught to do that, and you do it by rote. You don't even realize you're doing it. But as you do that, the tradition of closing that prayer out in the name of Jesus comes from we only get to the Father through Christ. So when we address the Father, even in a time of prayer, it is a closing of that prayer that we enter this conversation with you. We enter this communal time with you, and we do it in the name of your Son. So I'm giving you a personal invitation today of his personal invitation today, and that is, he says, I want you to come to me. Come to me. So let's look back at that, those verses 28 through 30 for just a moment. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. It is a picture of need. He wants you to come to him with your need, whatever that need is. Sometimes it's difficult for us to admit that we have need, especially the men in the room. Ladies, not so difficult. Men, oh gosh, it just becomes difficult. We don't want to ask for need. And a question that I need to ask you as a preacher today is, do you have a need? I've put them together this way. It could be a relational need that you just need some good, solid Christian friends. It could be a financial need in your life. It could be an emotional need in your life. It could be a spiritual need. You need direction. You need direction in your life. It could be a physical need in your life that you have. I'm talking about sickness and illness. I know you can probably add to that list, but that's basically how I categorize them in my life when I pray, and I go through that in prayer. But do you have a need? And if you have a need, where are you going? It's basically, if you're weary or burdened here, means that are you in need of some kind of relief? Then if you are, he asks you to come to him. And guys, as a pastor, I'm going to continue to guide you there. You're going to ask, man, Jeff, when are you going to get off that? I'm never going to get off that. Because we go everywhere else but him. And that's where we've got to go first. Whatever the need is, it doesn't matter what it is. And the need here is summarized by being weary or burdened or worn out or beaten up. And the promise here is that Jesus will give you rest in verse 28. He says, he will give you the rest that you need. The picture here is Sabbath. I'm going to tell you, I think that's one of the greatest sins of our Christian life and our nation and the church in America. I'm not going to speak for churches elsewhere. Is we don't rest. We don't know how to rest. And we have lived in a life where multitasking is so championed that if you have a moment to rest, you feel guilty. You feel guilty. Guys, some of you are going to, you all are going to, a lot of the younger crowd, you're not going to understand what I'm about to say. The older crowd, God bless you, you're going to get it, all right? I can remember working on a farm for other people and hauling in hay, and the family would make lunch for us. And man, we would go back and eat lunch, and I'm a 15-year-old kid that just has an endless stomach, you know. And we'd come and we'd eat lunch. And do y'all remember we used to lay around in the yard in the shade? You know what I'm saying? And we would lay around and rest for a while after we ate. And we were rolling in the grass like old lions after a kill, you know? And then you go back to the field and then you work hard. But we've gotten to the point now where if we're not multitasking or doing something, we think that it's shameful or guilty to just not be able to rest. And the picture here is, I will give you rest, has the picture of Sabbath. We all need it. See, there's still a need here. The need is not that the world's just got you weary, worn out, and beaten up. The need is here, you need rest. We need, how many of us, honestly, have worked our fingers to the bone to go on vacation for this incredible rest, only to come back more worn out than when we went? And you're going, man, I need the rest. I need a vacation from my vacation. You see how backwards we've got all this? And we wonder why we don't hear the voice of God. We wonder why we don't sense his presence. We're not used to being still and silent even before the Lord. And he gives us a promise. I will give you rest. And it has the picture of Sabbath. And it has the picture of, you don't just need it every now and then. You need it over and over and over and over again in your life. We're busy, we do our escapes, all that. But the rest here is the beginning of peace in your life. It's the beginning of peace. Listen, I want to say this, being Mother's Day, and this, I pray for words of knowledge. I don't know that I'll say this in the second service. Maybe I will, but it's not in my notes. But I remember when we became parents, I know this, and you know this. We don't have to go to medical school to know this, but medical school will teach us this as well. You know, we wonder why our kids can be so jacked up sometimes. You know what I'm saying? It's not only the sugar you give them on a regular basis, but our children can be uneasy because mom and dad are uneasy. You know, if I'm uneasy as a pastor, you're going to be uneasy. I was preaching a funeral at Richie Peach one day. And if you know that setting, there's usually some family furniture for the family to sit on. They're sitting in sofas and high back chairs or whatever. And where you and I, if we went to the funeral, would just be sitting in a regular chair. And so the preachers are off to the side on the corner. Not all of you have been to Richie Peach, but most of you have, and you know what I'm talking about. And I was preaching, and the family's there, and they're grieving the loss of their loved one. And off to the side is a table that had Kleenex boxes on it, and it had a candle. If you remember the candle store that used to be on Main Street, and they had a candle burning, you know, just you know, the mood setting, you know, all that. And so I'm preaching, and this family member at the end gets a hold of a Kleenex, obviously. Well, I don't know if you grew up playing Barrel Full of Monkeys. I don't know if you did that. But when she pulled that Kleenex out, every Kleenex in that box was attached to it. It was like a magic trick with the silks, you know. So she kept pulling it, and it just kept coming and coming and coming and coming. And don't you know that it drifted over into the flame of the candle, right? So it was burning both ways. It burnt back toward her, and it burnt back toward the box, caught the box on fire. I'm preaching, right? And so I realized I've got to do something. If I don't do something, people are going to panic, right? Now, if I get messed up, if I'm showing panic, everybody else is going to show panic. So y'all know me. Y'all have known me for 30 years, a lot of you. I kept right on preaching. I didn't miss a point. I picked up the box with it burning, threw it in the trash can, walked in front of the casket, walked outside, the ramp you go down, set the garbage can down and just let the bad boy burn. It didn't matter. Came back, finished my sermon. Also did that when I fell in a grave. You know, I just was preaching, I fell in a grave, got out of it, went right on back to preaching. So my point is, are you all listening to me? If you're unrest, if you are living a life of tension and stress and strife, your whole home will be that way. Your children will be that way. You understand? So when he says, I give you rest, he's giving you a picture of the Sabbath that you need over and over and over and over again. And God, he's not saying go on vacation. He says come to me. And you're beaten up, you're worn out, all that, I will give you rest. Doesn't that rest appeal to you? Goodness, it certainly does appeal to me that we have a need, and that need is we need to go to him with all the things that are stressing us out, wearing us out, making us weary, and let him give us rest. And not only that, he gives us solution to what we need to do. So we go to the next one, verse 29. He says, all of you take up my yoke. You and I aren't around things that have yoke much anymore because we've got powerful tractors, but I do remember growing up in a time when my dad had a team of horses. I remember when we worked a garden with a team of horses. I was raised with horses until I married Julie at the age of 22 and moved away from home. But the yoke was a device or an apparatus that allowed in my case, it was two Belgian horses, two big old Clydesdales or just two big old horses or oxen or whatever you want. But it was when you had a heavy load, you put the yoke on and the yoke would allow the team to pull that together. In other words, the weight wasn't just on one person. So the yoke was important so that the team could work together and pull a heavier load than they could by themselves. That's probably enough for you that you need to know. But a lot of times in Scripture, the yoke is used negatively. Like it's used to bring bondage to you, or it's used to confine you. But Jesus takes the picture of the yoke and uses it positively. He doesn't use it. It can sound negative. Who, you know, here, put this yoke on. Who wants to do that, you know? But he uses it positively because he's saying to us, I want to share the load with you. The picture is you're carrying this by yourself. And I don't want you to do that. And I want you to take my yoke because I want to share the load with you. So we're working together. He says, my yoke is easy. And you learn from me. I want to give you a good picture of this. I'm not going to go to the scriptures for this, but you know the 23rd Psalm. If you need to read it, read it. But the first part of it is, he is our shepherd. And it's the sheep talking. Please remember that the first part, the first few verses, it's the sheep are talking. The Lord is my shepherd, and I do not want, or I do not lack anything. And he's leading and making me. We're going to green pastures and still waters. Don't you like that? Man, I like that. You know, he's leading it. But here's a picture here that I want you to get to show you about the relationship that I'm talking about his invitation for us to come to me. And the picture is a shepherd is always ahead of you, leading the way for you. He's a good shepherd. And he's always ahead of us, leading us there. And you're going, well, that's not a shared load. Yes, it is. Because he's leading us in the straight paths. He's leading us into direct paths. He's leading us into his ways. It is a shared load. I mean, we may not be side by side and we've got an apparatus on us that's teamed us together, but we're teamed together with him when we follow our good shepherd. But the picture changes. He restores my soul. Sheep don't have a soul. He restores my soul. And that's what we're talking about when you get rest. It's at peace. Man, you may have a huge to-do list the next week. If you're thinking I'm talking about rest means you don't have a to-do list, then you're not listening. You're going to have a to-do list. And when you get that list done, there's going to be another one cover that up. But it's a shared load. It is a shared load with the Lord. And so when we go through the rest, it's a restoration to our souls. And not only that, when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, it's a valley nobody wants to go through. You would not put that in any kind of directional app that you have. Hey, let's go through the valley of the shadow of death. Sounds like fun to me, right? You don't want to go there, but we go there. And Scripture says it's not the valley of death, it's just the shadow of death. Let me tell you why it's the shadow of death. Because he took death head on. It will always be a shadow. You will never, Papaw, when he died, he did not face death full go, because Christ is already taking that on for him. Do you hear me? So death is always a shadow to us. And in that, you go through the valley of the shadow of death. If you read the 23rd Psalm, and maybe it's meant for me to help you read it, where the sheep, talking about how he's a good shepherd, leads us to those great places. He restores my soul. It starts taking a shift. And then we follow him in his way. And we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Here's the picture of the yoke and teaming together. He's no longer the shepherd who is ahead of you. He is the personal escort that comes back beside you and walks you through that valley. Listen. Man, that almost brings me to tears about our Lord. Do you see the love and the compassion that he has for all of us? And he said, take up my yoke. I'm going to share this load with you together and learn from me. Learn from me. Don't just learn about me. Learn from me. Yeah, learn from me. I asked the Lord, you know, what do you have for me? You know, even in Papaw's death, you know, what do you want me to do? And man, we honored the Lord. You know, we did remember Papaw. He even had a burger named after him in Campbellsville at Cole's Drugstore called the Ted Burger. And it was a burger that had slaw on it. He loved slaw on his burger. So they had it in their menu. I can't tell you how many Ted Burgers I've had in my life. But we remembered him. But guys, we honored the Lord, because the Lord has walked us through, and you. Just when I say us, I just don't mean the Eaton family. I mean us. Hasn't he walked us through? Gosh. And it's a personal escort. Take up my yoke for me. You're saying, well, preacher, you know, this yoke is still a restraint to me. Can I say this to you, that some of us need some restraint? I mean, some of us need that godly restraint of us. But he says, take the world's yoke off of you and put my yoke on you. And it's not a free to do whatever you want to in your life. It's not a do what you want, faith, or follow. It's not any of that. It's follow me. And the beauty of this is it's a shared thing together. But I'm not going to tell you that the yoke is complete freedom to walk any way you want, that there is some restraint. And I don't know about you, but I need that restraint. Can I just tell you, there are some places in this world I literally don't need to go. Y'all hearing me? Is this the only amen section? Did I promise you all lunch? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's just places I don't need to go. And I appreciate it's wisdom for him to have his restraint. Look at his description of himself. He said, I am gentle and humble in heart. Some of you have a Lord that wants to beat you up and punish you and to hurt you, and it is not true. When he tells you that he's going to give you rest, it's soul rest, it's soul care. If I die today, all is well. Do you understand? There's peace where there needs to be peace. And I want you to know, you're not ready to live, folks, until you're ready to die. You're not ready to live until you're ready to die. And there's this beautiful promise that you're going to find rest in this humble and gentle Savior. We've been taught that he's just going to punish us and punish us, and that could be the enemy. You may have heard that. That lie could be in your life from lots of different angles in your life. But I just want to tell you, we see him as the Prince of Peace. Look at Philippians 4:7. And I could read the whole thing to you, but the peace of God, which passes every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Miles, leave that up there. Sometimes in a counseling session, when we're praying, people have a strong sense of the presence of the Lord. And they'll let me know they sense his presence. And there are times where the Lord goes to their most horrible memories they've ever had in their life. And they're not new memories. They're memories that have plagued them all of their life. They're harmful. It's where they were wounded. Their hearts were wounded. Their lives were, their souls were wounded. And they'll tell me now, even years after that experience, when we're praying together, that the most dreadful memories they've ever had in their life, God has healed those memories, and that the Lord Jesus stands guard over that memory that once used to cause them all kinds of pain and sorrow and suffering. But who guards that? It says, look at what the scripture says. He will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He becomes guard over all that anymore. No more of the woundedness. And it's the peace of God that he's able to give us. Look at John 14:27. I thought I had a short sermon, but sorry. I never did tell you that I did until now. But John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. Now listen, let's dig into this a little bit. If we're not careful, we'll read this verse and say, the peace that he gives you is not the peace that the world gives you. But if you'll dig a little deeper, that's not what he says. He just says, I don't give the way the world gives. Do you see that in there? Take a moment. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. He doesn't say, I do not give you peace as the world gives peace. He just says, I don't give the way the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled. Because sometimes we're going, well, you've got the world's peace or you've got the Lord's peace. I just don't know that the world gives you peace. I just don't know that it does. I haven't found that in my life. I have found that the only one who gives me peace is Christ himself. He becomes the Prince of Peace. If you go back to the Matthew 11 passage, he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It is light. I want you to know there's a trade out that goes on here. It doesn't say he does away with the yoke. It just said he wants you to trade yours in for his. And his yoke has a purpose. And that purpose is abundant and eternal life. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we started Hope Church back in 98, there was a worship leader named Daryl Evans. I still love Daryl Evans. He's great. But there was an old song, and I mean, it's old now, but it wasn't then. It's called Trading My Sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down. You know, Absolutely. We used to sing the dickens out of that song. That I'm trading. And that's exactly a picture of what we're trying to get you to do. Guys, listen, you need help. You hear me? I need help. I need help. You need help. Let's just say it. I just read the other day that that if you verbally say no to something you don't want to eat, the endorphins go crazy in your body. So I've been looking at donuts going, no. And they're walking out pretty proud. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, Julie had this, it's Julie's birthday. Friday was Papaw's funeral. Yesterday's the anniversary of my dad's death. It's Mother's Day. My mom's with the Lord. And so Julie got some, you know, and I read this article and I said, man, this is a great article. So I'm just walking around the house going, no, you know. The picture that I want you to get and see in all this is that the life he wants us to live, we just trade it. You know, we got to trade it. And I need to say no. You know, I need to learn to do that. I think of Ronald Reagan's wife. I can't even remember her name. You know, just say no to drugs. Nancy Reagan. You know, just say no to drugs. You know, so. But I want to say no to what the world is doing for me. And I want to say yes to what the Father, listen to the sequence. The Father wants to give me through his Son. And is that not a beautiful picture of following him? It doesn't mean we don't have a yoke, but his yoke is easy. I want you to look at Proverbs 13:15 for just a second. Good sense wins favor, but the way of the treacherous never changes. And it means that the unfaithful life is the most difficult life. The faithful life is tough, but the most difficult life is an unfaithful life. I can't live the faithful life without him, but he never asked me to. He never asked us to. So folks, listen, I want you to get rest, and it doesn't mean you've got to fly, you know, 3,000 miles to go do it. But I want that soul rest, that Sabbath rest in your life. He says, come to me. All ye who are worn out and weary and tired and beaten up, you need help. We all do. You need relief. I'll give it to you. It's rest. It's a picture of Sabbath. And he said, I want you to hear from me. Learn from me. I'm not here to beat you up, he says. I'm not here to hurt you. He says, I'm humble and I'm gentle. So you may have a picture of a God that wants to confine you and hurt you. And it's not him. The enemy's duking you. He's playing you like a deck of cards. That's not who he is. And so we come to him. We take on his yoke. We need some restraint. Some of us need some restraint. But it's easy. His burden is light. Won't you trade for that today? The invitation has come to him. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people today. I give an invitation of your personal invitation to come to you. Father, I can't make anybody come to you. Can't do it. I just have to do it myself and lead it for my own life. But Father, I pray they hear your call. I pray they hear your guidance and your leadership in their life, Lord, to come to you. Even today, may we just find a quiet place. We just come and we give you our needs. As we give you our needs, we give you our trust that you're going to share the load with us. And I thank you for asking us if you can share it with us. Thank you for being that kind of a Savior. Father, speak to our hearts, guide our lives. May they be lives that have hard work in them, that declare your name, that we work as unto you in all that we do. But Father, also may it be a life where we know where to get our rest and how to do it. So thank you for being our Savior. And Father, Thank you for giving us your Son, who through all this, you've made it possible, and through him, for us to become your children as well. And we say thanks. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, and we pray together. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? Counselors, would you find your spot? The invitation is this: whosoever will today, for whatever reason, we ask that you come.